This audio is machine generated. Please excuse any mispronunciations. David Rohl's New Egyptian Chronology, A Solution to Biblical Difficulties, or A Misguided Enterprise. By Chad Summa. I first became aware of British Egyptologist Dr. David Rohl's revised Egyptian chronology not long after his book A Test of Time was published in 1995. I was an undergraduate at Central Christian College of the Bible and was taking a course on archaeology where Rohl's views were advocated as a legitimate possibility which could lead to more archaeological support for the Bible. However, Rohl's views drastically contrasted from the generally accepted dating used by most Egyptologists and historians. So I filed the information away as interesting, but I wasn't going to pursue the line of thinking unless Rohl's views began to gain some traction in the academic world. Jumping forward 20 years, I was looking for some videos to supplement a class I was teaching on the Pentateuch, and I ran across the documentary Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus, and encountered Rohl's views being advocated again. So on the popular level, Rohl's views are still being disseminated to the masses. However, most scholarship, including among some professed Christians, has not been accepting of Rohl's views. So this brief article will attempt to educate on Rohl's Egyptian chronology and make some suggestions as to why it is considered a flawed approach. The traditional chronology. To understand Rohl's work, it is necessary to examine the generally accepted dating of Egypt's pharaohs and how this was agreed upon. Much of the assumptions of Egypt's chronology come from Manetho's listing of the pharaohs and their 31 dynasties. Manetho was an Egyptian priest of the 3rd century BC who compiled a list of the pharaohs of Egypt into 31 dynasties. His work is now lost, only surviving in some quotations by the church fathers. With some revision, Manetho's work has been accepted by Egyptologists as relatively close and is supported by 4 major benchmarks, of which Rohl attempts to discredit 3. Egyptian history is traditionally divided into 3 kingdoms, periods of power in which Egypt is a strong player on the international stage. In between these kingdoms are periods of national weakness known as intermediate periods. It is with the 3rd intermediate period that Rohl finds issues with the chronology, suggesting that dynasties 21 and 22 are not sequential. This, along with some adjustments to the 20th dynasty, leads to a gap of nearly 350 years, which causes a radical realignment of Egyptian history with the rest of the ancient world, including the Bible. For example, the great pharaoh Ramses II, who was in the 13th century in the original chronology, becomes part of the 10th, a contemporary of Solomon and Rehoboam, in Rohl's chronology. Rohl's chronology has been popular due to its biblical correlations, particularly with Israel's presence in Egypt. He suggests that we see evidence of Joseph's tomb, the Israelite city at Avaris, and even an Egyptian record of the plagues of Egypt known as the Admonitions of Ippur, which, though we have a later New Kingdom copy, dates by writing style into the Middle Kingdom, where Rohl's suggests the Exodus should be found. However, Rohl's goes back and forth between a 13th century Exodus and a 15th century one, most of the time when Rohl wishes to show that there is no evidence of the Exodus. In the conventional chronology, he uses the 13th century date, but the Bible in 1 Kings 6:1 and Judges 11:26 favor a 15th century date anyway. It's a bit of a straw man. Most of the evidence of Israel in Egypt would still work for a 15th century BC Exodus. For some time, Egyptologists have recognized that the chronology of Egypt is difficult and minor revisions are probably warranted, but most Egyptologists are unwilling to make revisions at the level which Rohl does. So how did Rohl come to these conclusions? Roll began with noticing some oddities concerning the burial of Apis bulls at Saqqara. He noticed that they were missing from the 21st and 22nd dynasty. He also found an oddity where a 22nd dynasty pharaoh had a tomb that was built before that of a 21st dynasty pharaoh. This led him to begin to question the established dating and began to see challenges to three of the four primary pillars of Egyptian chronology, challenging the pillars. The first of these four pillars is the sacking of Thebes by the Assyrians under Ashurbanipal in 664 BC, while Psamtek I was on the throne. This is not debated by Rolls. However, the other three, he critiques the identification of Shoshenq I with the biblical character of Shishak, who attacked and humbled Rehoboam, see 1 Kings 14, 25, and 26, and 2 Chronicles 12, 2-9. The ascension of Amoz in 1550 BC, based on the helical rising of Sothis, the star Sirius, in 1517 BC, the ninth year of Amenhotep I. The accession of Ramesses II in 1279 BC, based on his year 52, being 1228 according to a lunar calendar date. Shoshenq and Shishak. Rohl will argue that Shishak is not Shoshenq by arguing that Shoshenq's inscription concerning his conquest in Palestine would not make sense if he attacked Jerusalem, as it would have been geographically out of the way. He also challenges on linguistic grounds the identification of Shishak with Shoshenq. He argues that Shishak would have been a Hebraization of a hypocharisticon, i.e. personal name, maybe equivalent to a nickname, of Ramses II, Sisi, the helical rising of Sothis. Rohl will also argue that the Sothic dating has problems. The basic idea of this pillar is the first rising of the star Sothis, Sirius, coincided the Egypt New Year day. However, due to the fact that a year is actually 365.25 days, every 4 years Sothis would rise a day later. It would thus take 1,460 years for Sothis to again rise on the same day. A document from Censorius, 3rd century AD, mentions a coincidence of the rising of Sothis and the Egyptian New Year in AD 140. This then creates other anchor points by going back 1,460 years from that date. However, Rohl will note that this dating depends on where the observations of Sothis were done and that the reading of some of the key papyri are debated, with some writers contradicting Censorius, accession of Ramesses II. The question of the accession of Ramesses II based on a lunar calendar meets a lot of uncertainty, as several Egyptian calendars have been discovered and it is uncertain which lunar calendar was in use. Therefore, this pillar of conventional chronology is indeed uncertain. Questioning Rohl's chronology. Again, most Egyptologists have rejected Rohl's interpretation. See Bennett, Brissot, and notably Kenneth Kitchen, whose expertise in the third intermediate period Rohl is especially concerned to call into question. They will largely base their arguments on evidence from the Egyptian side of the debate. However, Egypt, though a notable player, interacted with other nations who have established chronologies of their own. Ironically enough, Assyrian chronology is a lot less complex than Egyptian, as there are definitive fixed points in Assyrian history that we can work from. The most famous fixed point is the Bursagali eclipse on June 15th, 763 BC. This solar eclipse and others at other points in Assyrian history is mentioned in the Limmu or eponym year list. In their records, the Assyrians named every year after an official a Limmu and listed major events in the year included that eclipse. using this fixed point and the Limmu lists, in which there are a couple covering most of the Middle Assyrian and Neo-Assyrian periods, we can assign dates to various rulers, which is how rulers in the Bible are dated. So if we can find an Assyrian ruler whose date is certain, who corresponds with an Egyptian ruler, we can have a rough estimation when that ruler lived. The famous Amarna tablets are distinctly placed in the 18th dynasty of Egypt, with most of them having been written to Amenhotep III and Amenhotep IV, better known as Akhenaten, an Assyrian ruler, Ashurbanipal I, who is dated to the 14th century, is mentioned in the Amarna text, which would give a 14th century date to Egypt's 18th dynasty and a 13th century date to Egypt's 19th dynasty, of which Ramses II was from. This is a big difficulty in Rolls' theory, and he acknowledges the problem in an appendix to his work, Test of Time. He notes that the patronym, Ashurbanipal's father's name, is different between the Amarna text and the Assyrian records. He acknowledges, though, that the Assyrians would indeed claim any ancestor or predecessor as a father. Unfortunately, Roll must assume the Amarna text is speaking about some other Ashurbanipal that is otherwise unknown. While there is a later Ashurbanipal II, his dates, while closer, would not quite match up with Roll's chronology either. Unfortunately, direct contacts between Egypt and Assyria before the Neo-Assyrian period, about 900 BC, are relatively rare. Yet Assyria did have contacts with other people who also had contacts with Egypt. Most notable among these are the Hittites. If an Assyrian ruler can be identified as a contemporary of a Hittite ruler who is contemporary with an Egyptian, we can get a more definitive date on the Egyptian ruler. We know from Egyptian and Hittite records that Ramses II signed a treaty with Hattusili III, approximately 1275 to 1245. Hattusili III had a son named Tudhaliya IV, approximately 1275 to 1245, 1245 to 1215, who fought the Battle of Nihria against the Assyrians, as both Hittite and Assyrian records mention this. The Assyrian king in question was Shalmaneser I, 1273 to 1244. This would make Shalmaneser I, whose date is more certain, a near contemporary of Ramses II. This in no way fits Roll's chronology. Other issues arise with Roll's understanding of his chronology with respect to the biblical accounts of the early Israelite united monarchy. Roll finds within the Amarna letters references to Saul, David, and Ishbosheth. However, the Amarna letters themselves seem to indicate much greater Canaanite control of the land, though it is threatened by the nomadic Hapiru, than what the biblical accounts seem to have. Other archaeological remains also can be problematic to Roll's chronology. The famed Merneptah Stela mentions Israel as a group of people whose seed was not. The Stela mentions several city-states and political entities, but when it gets to Israel, it's different. It is given the designation of an unorganized people group. According to Roll's chronology, the Stele would be dated in the late 10th century after the Israelite kingdom had already been established for 120 years. If, however, the conventional dating of the Merneptah Stele, approximately 1210 BC, is correct, this would have placed it in the middle of the Judges period, where indeed there was not a centralized political entity in Israel. And Dr. Bryant Wood also notes that Roll's chronology would make a mess of Israelite archaeology. A great many radiocarbon datings would have to have an error level of 350 years. Granted, there is some inaccuracy with radiocarbon dating, though it is improving, but for something 3,000 years old, the discrepancy would be more or less 100 years, not 350. Also, the occupation levels of several sites, like Jericho and Hazor, would not match up well with Rolls' dating. And another significant challenge to Rolls' dating scheme is found with the ancient enemies of Israel, the Philistines. Most archaeologists believe that the majority of the Philistine incursion into the Promised Land occurred in the 12th century after the defeat of the Sea Peoples by Ramses III of the 20th dynasty. The Philistines are identified with the Pelasset of Egyptian inscriptions and by similar dress. Thus, they were in the Promised Land for the time period of the later judges and the United Monarchy as a major foe of Israel. In Rolls' chronology, however, the Philistines would not arrive in Israel till about 800 BC, far too late to be a foe of Saul and David. Conclusion? A great test of the viability of a theory is if it answers more problems than it creates. There is certainly some uncertainty in Egyptian chronology. Some artifacts, particularly of Israel while in Egypt, see the documentary patterns of evidence, the Exodus, are tantalizing in their correlation with scripture if Rolls' system is correct. However, Rolls' chronology does create problems, which has forced its advocates into trying not only to redate much of Egyptian history, but Hittite and Philistine history as well. See Bimson's work on redating the Philistines. In conclusion, it is tempting for advocates of God's word to attach themselves to any theory that purports to support scripture. David Roll has gained a lot of notoriety due to the biblical connections we can make with his proposed chronology. However, each theory must be carefully examined with counterarguments weighed and evaluated. Otherwise, we might be accused of being uneven with the evidence, which undermines the credibility of those of faith. Who knows? As more evidence comes up from the ground, Roll may be proved correct, partially correct, or even way off base. Until that time, it must remain an interesting possibility